And how do I know we all struggle? Because God says that we all struggle with sin. And so this morning we're going to take a look at the smallest, most deadly member of our body. What do you think that is?
Tongue.
Tongue, okay. Amen. Have you been reading my notes?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Yes, it's our tongue. You know I'm doing a series in James, so you're reading ahead, right? So that's how we knew that. Okay. So, yes, it's our tongue. Pretty ugly tongue, but you get the point, right? Now, James says the tongue is deadly poison. It is set on fire by hell for the entire course of life. Do you ever think of your tongue that way? That's, you know, and again, you hear me say this often, right? This is not me speaking, right? This is the word of God. See? And he says that the tongue is a deadly poison. One of the things I just realized I forgot to do was read the scripture. Yeah. Ella says yes. All right, you know what? I'm going to stop right now and do that. Ella, keep me straight, will you? I have a tongue, right? And so this is applicable to all of us. You know, and like I say, it's so easy for us to judge somebody who sins differently than we do. And, you know, I could mention a bunch of sins, and you probably would say, well, yeah, okay, you know, I don't do that. You know, so you know, I'm doing all right, right? And I remember some time ago, I said in one of my messages that we need to repent each and every day. We sin each and every day. And when I said we sin each and every day, somebody said, "Really?" And I said, "Yes, yeah, we sin each and every day." In one way or another, we sin each and every day. And that's one of the reasons why we need to be turning from the things that God says are sinful in our lives. And there are things like the tongue. And Chip was talking about a whole list of things that are listed with homosexuality that are things that we don't even think about. And God's word is very clear, even when it comes to gossip, right? And things of that nature. And our tongue, set on fire by hell for the entire course of life. You are always going to struggle. I am always going to struggle. No amen on that, please. I'm teasing. Go ahead, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, all right, yeah. We all are going to be struggling with our tongue. And I'm going to say, if you are married and you have a spouse, God really puts you to the test.
Amen.
Yeah, don't I know it? Amen. Right? Because our tongue, you know, we just many, many times don't even think about what we say or even how we say it. Now, here are just a few examples of an evil tongue. The lying tongue. How many of you have ever lied? All right, those of you that don't have your hands raised, that's what denial looks like, right? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, the lying tongue. Evil. The hurtful tongue. How many have ever hurt someone with your tongue? Again, yeah, all of us, right? The defiant tongue. Okay, some of you are just automatically volunteering. You know, okay, yeah. The defiant tongue. And boy, I can remember back when I was a teenager, this was more of a problem than it is now, but the defiant tongue, right? Disobey. And how often do we disobey God even when we know better, right? But our defiant tongue. I can remember when I was going through a very difficult time in my life. And I did my dissertation on the Lament Psalms, and I knew that God knows my heart anyway, and so I might as well just say what's on my heart. And I was really, really, really hurting. I call it the dark days of my life. And I took my fist and I raised it and I said, "Go to hell, God. You can have your sovereignty." Right? You know, and the defiant tongue, defying God. And you know, believe it or not, when I said that, it freed me. It freed me because God listened to that. And he didn't squash me like a bug, right? He listened. And he knew that I was hurting. Okay? But our defiant tongue, cursing tongue. Now, I don't know. You know, what some of us call cursing commandments. Cursing is things that come out of our mouth that should not come out of our mouth, even if we're not breaking the Ten Commandments. The Bible calls it unwholesome speech, right? And we ought not to have come out of our mouths things that would be understood as cursing. And I don't think I've ever lived in a time where more Christians curse than ever before. And think nothing of it. And we need to pay attention. Need to pay attention to what comes out of our mouth. And we don't want to be cursing people, do we? I sure hope not. And if we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, you know what it makes me think of? When we hear Jesus speak, you know what Jesus says, some of the things that we say? Huh? But we say them, and we're followers of Jesus. Why do we think it's okay for us to say it if Jesus wouldn't have said it? Huh? Boy, Al's really getting the mental, and you'll be glad when a new pastor comes along, huh? Right? The cursing tongue. The silent tongue. How is that? How is that sinful? Well, most of you know I have a psychological background. And I don't know how many times a silent tongue can be evil because it's like vengeful. What do you do? What do you do? Those of you that have personalities that are not like mine, right? Because mine, I'm going to tell you. But there are people, right, that say, okay, I call it passive aggressive, just not going to say anything. I'll show you. Gary Darrell folded his arms back there, right? Yeah, I remember a time when I was going, maybe I shared this, I don't remember, but there was a time where I was in my residency and we all sat around this, it was like the Last Supper table, and it was my turn, and they were picking on me, you know, because they would take videos of us counseling someone. And my supervisor, who was a, young punk kind of guy, I guess I'll say. You can tell I love the guy. I really do love the guy. But anyway, when it got to me, he said, "So Al, why did you say what you said to this woman?" And so I explained myself. And he said, "Well, I know, but why did you really say that to her?" So I said it again. And he said, "Al," he said, I want you to dig deeper. Why did you say what you did to this woman?" And so I said it again, a third time. And a fourth time he said, "Al, so why did you say what you did to," and you know what I did? And he goes, Al, I'm speaking to you. And I'm there. Yeah, but you see, it was like, you know, well, what was on my mind? You wise punk. You know, I'm almost twice your age, right? Or and all these things. See, but I was sinful, right? And he was an authority over me. And he said to me, right about then the bell rang. You ever talk about being saved by the bell, right? And I thought I was saved by the bell. So I stood up and he goes, Al, I want to see you in my office immediately. And I knew I was in trouble then. And so I went in. And he said, Al, do you know what just happened out there? And I said, no, suppose you tell me. See, can you tell the attitude, right? And he said, Al, you are a great counselor. But he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, you got a real pride problem. And he said, that needs to be addressed. I don't know why I'm getting emotional about it, but that changed my life. Because I knew that even something like pride, you ever think about pride? That's sinful, arrogant, cocky. Who in the world do I think I am? Right? See, the silent tongue can be just as deadly as a loudmouth tongue. Right? How many of you ever heard this? Sticks and stones. Yeah, Jeff, you need to go. Jeff warned me he was gonna go.
Watch that talk.
I love you, brother. Go ahead and go. He has a good reason. Anyway, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Is that true or not so true? Yeah, totally false, right? How many times do we find ourselves calling even some of the members in our congregation that we may not, you know, particularly connect with, I'll say, right? And God forbid, I hope we don't have cliques in here, but I know, right, that we don't all connect, you know, with each other sometimes. And, you know, what do? Do we call each other names? And what I mean by names is, you know, well, he's an idiot, right? Or, you know, she's, I don't know, whatever it is. See? And that hurts. That hurts. Have you ever been hurt by what somebody says? Yeah. How many have been hurt by some? Yeah. Yeah. Everybody. Yeah. Boy, this tongue can get us in a lot of trouble. More trouble than any other. And it's the smallest part of our body. And yet it steers us, right, in directions that, you know, and many times we don't even realize it. But it's sin. And James is hitting pretty hard here with this. The sins of the tongue. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. When was the last time you thought about what's in your mouth is full of deadly poison? But it is. It is. Pretty depressing, right? Yeah. Yeah. Pretty depressing. If my tongue is straight from the pit of hell, and it's going to be that way for the rest of my life, and all this stuff comes out of my tongue, out of my mouth, right? And it's going to continue to happen. Pretty depressing. Oh, great. Yeah, thanks for the good news, right? So what are we going to do? I'm going to say that we need to be slow to speak. That's why James says, in chapter 1. Be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. How many of us are slow to speak? That's not my strong suit. Yeah. 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 Be slow to speak. Think. 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 You know. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I said to Deb, I think yesterday, was, I don't know, talking about myself or something, and she said, I don't know, something to me about, and I said, well, I'm a thinker. I think all the, I know, I was quiet, and she goes, you all right? I said, yeah. She goes, well, what's going on? I'm thinking, okay? And even though, right, we think, I need to be more slow to speak. See? And given the personality that I have, it's hard for me to do that. See? But be slow to speak, because this thing can get me into big trouble. Big time. Right? And it can get all of us into trouble. Now, be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. You know, one of the best compliments that I've been given by some folks, you're a good listener. You know, and if we listen, we're slow to speak, and we're quick to listen, then we're going to be able to control what comes out of here. See? But we have to be able to be slow to speak and quick to listen. That's why James says that. And by the way, how many of us are angry? Yeah, okay. I'm glad that those of you that raised your hands would say that. And as I was talking with Deb, I don't know, was that today or yesterday or something? You know, whenever I think about anger, I think about Romans chapter 8, where it says that the whole world groans, as in the pains of childbirth, right up until this present time. Okay? We all, do you realize this is not our home? Do you realize this is not our home? We are, yeah, this is just, and James, later on, we're going to see that James says, life is but a vapor. What's a vapor? I think of a tea kettle with steam coming out of it, right? It comes out and then disappears. How quickly? That quickly, see? And because this world is not our home, think about it. If you didn't have a house to go to this morning, right? And you had to live out on the street somewhere, which some people do. Do you think they're happy people? Do you think they're content? Scared to death. Scared to death, yeah, absolutely. Well, guess what, people? You might have a house here on the face of the earth. You might have a home to go to, but you know what? Your real home, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, is waiting for you. And we're only going to experience a smidgen of happiness here on earth, because this isn't our home. We are guaranteed a home for eternity that's full of just words cannot even express eternal bliss, right? How many of you believe that? You know, we don't talk much about that until we get cancer. Until we have a heart attack, right? Until we're chronically ill. And then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, this world is not my home. And we find comfort in the reality, in the truth, that this is not our home. God says, I've got better things for you. Amen? Hallelujah?
Amen.
Yeah. And that's wonderful. Right? And until that time, you wonder why we say the things we do that come out of our mouth? Because this world is not our home. We're never going to be completely satisfied. We're never going to be completely happy. Because this is just temporary. The real thing is yet to come.
Only Jesus can completely satisfy us, not husband.
Right.
Not wives. Only Jesus can completely satisfy us.
Right.
Only him.
So, here we go. What else can we do? What else can we do? If it's pretty depressing that we got this tongue inside our mouth, this very small member of our body, right, that's going to be with us forever, and it's straight from the pit of hell, sets things on fire. We can be wise. Wise. And how are we wise? Right? One of the things that we're doing, and you hear me pray, and I would encourage you to pray, wisdom only comes from God. It doesn't come from any place else. Wisdom doesn't come from books. You understand that, don't you?
Amen.
Knowledge can come from books, but the application of knowledge and the God's word and how it applies to our, it's God. God brings wisdom so that we might make wise choices. And this church is in sort of kind of a transition, right? We need wisdom. We need God. We need, amen? We need God. We need God to direct where we're going to go. What are we going to do? Be wise so that what comes out of our mouth, you know, that no matter who God calls here, be careful what you say about that person. Be careful what actions you take. Though you may not like what he or she says or does or whatever, it's a person that God has called here to lead you, to guide you, to teach you, to direct you. Right? Be wise. Humble. Be humble. Be humble. It's one thing to say be humble, but how are we humble? How do we become humble? Yeah, that's good, Joanne. Yeah. Realizing that we're no better than the person sitting next to us, and we're no better than homosexuals, or we're no better than drug addicts, or we're no better than. Right? We are only who we are because Jesus died and said, I forgive you. That's who you are. That's who I am. I'm no better than anyone else. You're no better than anyone else. No matter how ugly their sin might be. Now, we may not like some people. There are some people I don't like. But you know what? God calls me to love them anyways. Because I'm no better than they are, right? They might sin differently than I. So what do we do with this tongue? Think. Be quick to listen. Slow to speak. Be aware that we're angry. And we need to, because we are angry, sometimes, and by the way, anger's not wrong. You know that, right? It says, be angry and sin not. That's an imperative. God says, be angry. We need to be angry about the things that God is angry about. But sin not. But many times, because we are sinners, when we're angry, there's stuff that's going to come out of our mouth that is not going to be anything but righteous for sure, right? Be patient. How many of us are patient? Right? Yeah. Ella, I think you are patient. Yeah. And some of us, you're more patient than I am, Ella. That's for sure. And patience is something that is hard to come by sometimes, right? Especially when you're put in situations that are difficult, right? God, I want to be patient. I want to be humble. I want to be wise. Because what, you know, what happens if we're not patient? And we get frustrated, especially when we're caretakers of someone or whatever, right? Very easy to, you know, say all kinds of nasty things. Oh my, I can't believe I said that. Well, hey, be patient, be humble, be wise. Now, that's James 3:13. Fill our minds with Scripture. One way that we can think and keep our tongue in check is by remembering Scripture and quoting Scripture. How many of you know the Scripture and you find yourself saying the Scripture, right? Memorize Scripture, know the Scripture, read the Scripture, fill your mind with the things of God rather than, you know, whatever's out there. And boy, there's a lot of garbage out there on the internet and on the news, right? One of the other things we can do is we can listen to Christian music. Christian music can be such a blessing. Such a blessing. And if you're driving down the road and your mind starts to go wherever it is, right? It's pretty hard to have your mind go somewhere else when you're listening to Christian music, right? Because God is ministering to you through music, especially if you like music. I can't sing worth a lick. That's why they don't invite me to choir. But I love good music. I love good music. Christian music. Avoid potty mouth talk. What do I mean by potty mouth talk? Ella's laughing. What do I mean by potty? If our angel was here, you do realize that Kaylee is our angel, don't you? Not every church has one of those. We are privileged to have our own angel here, right? If I asked Kaylee what potty mouth was, she would probably come right out and tell us in no short order, you know, what potty mouth is. So if you don't know, ask Kaylee, okay? But avoid potty mouth, right? Cleanse our mouth and tongue daily. You know, and what I mean by that is, know that our tongue is full of all kinds of evil. And out of it comes praise, but out of it comes cursing, potty mouth, all kinds. We need to cleanse this every day, every day, every day, every day. What did I say? Every day, right? Now I'm going to do something a little different this morning as we close. I'm going to ask Mary and Deb to come up, and instead of singing the last song, and I didn't really make up my mind till now, so you know me and how I operate, so they didn't know when I was going to do this. Mary says, weren't we going to do this? So here you are, okay. But Deb and Mary have practiced a song, and it's about the tongue, and so as we close the service, I'm not going to say a whole lot more except to just have you listen to the words of this song. It was written by a pastor's wife, and I thought it was just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful song to close out the service this morning. So, Deb, Mary,